Video game woes. Video games, they are so much fun for children and adults. In my work with many, many families, parents almost always identify the iPad or tablet as their children's favorite activity. Not surprising, video game designers build them to be almost addictive. Throughout any given game, there are countless opportunities to gain points, defeat an enemy, earn extra lives, and so forth. In fact, because you are learning the ins and outs of the game as you play, when you do die, you have to play it just one more time because you know how to defeat it this time. In some families, telling a child to relinquish the tablet leads to a major meltdown. These meltdowns can be comprised of grabbing hold of the tablet, screaming, and running to a room where the enforcer can't get him or her. Locking the door of that room ensures more time with the beloved game. Parents often reach out for help by asking why this happens again and again. I tell them that we'll need to look at all the variables. First, as mentioned previously, video game designers build in reinforcement for playing. This reinforcement is enough to make the playing of the game ongoing. It is, after all, enjoyable. And because each child and all parents are different, individual variables have been put in place that can upend even seemingly appropriate responses. The majority of the parents I've worked with, in this particular scenario, engage in escape or avoidance behavior. They want to escape or avoid the meltdown, and they do what they think will work to ensure that escape. For example, let's say that little Trulia has been playing on the tablet for an hour and a half. Her parents have finished cooking supper and have set the table. Trulia has just reached a turning point in the game and is about to beat the next nemesis. Then Dad calls, "Trulia, put away the tablet and get ready for supper." At first, Trulia pretends as if she didn't hear her dad at all and continues playing, but turns her back to the kitchen. So she did hear. Her dad walks over and stands in front of her and, with hand outstretched, demands the tablet. Trulia responds by jumping up, running past her dad, and screaming, "I'm almost finished!" Her dad tells her she can play 10 more minutes and then she'll have to turn over the tablet. What just happened? Well, it looks like Trulia's behavior of running past her dad and screaming was just rewarded with 10 more minutes of gameplay. Dad actually reinforced the behavior he would really not want repeated. But Dad was influenced by his own desire to avoid an escalation in his daughter's tantrum. So, because Dad was just reinforced, negatively reinforced by the avoidance of the escalation, he is likely to repeat this behavior. Now, what is happening in this little family? Dad is trying to maintain his peaceful coexistence with his daughter, and has learned that giving in gets him what he wants more than a hot supper. Trulia has learned that if she screams and runs from the enforcer, that she is very likely to get what she wants, that is, more time with the video game. This knowledge over time can very easily lead to the tantrum behavior being displayed in more and more situations and settings. What can be done? Many people try the 5-minute warning to let children know that the demand will be made shortly, but that they have a few more minutes with the desired activity. This is used in many homes and schools. Unfortunately, with highly reinforcing objects and activities, it doesn't always work. Now, you can sweeten the pot by transitioning to another preferred activity, which can make the first demand to relinquish the current activity a little more palatable. But what happens if this doesn't work? I've discussed this in classrooms full of applied behavior analysis students, and they have some very creative ways of dealing with the noncompliant child. One of the suggestions is punishment, in which the tablet is removed and the child's privilege of using it is taken away for a certain number of hours or days. This is called response cost punishment. While punishment can work in certain circumstances, it is not as effective as reinforcement, and behavior analysts avoid punishment procedures to the extent possible. In fact, this could make the response to the initial demand to turn over the tablet even more intense. There is really a combination of procedures that often work well. The parents can set up a contingency in which the child can earn extra time on the tablet if the tablet is relinquished upon the parent's demand. For example, in our scenario, Trulia could earn an extra 30 minutes after bath time for turning over the tablet when first asked. In addition to this, the tablet should be set to turn off automatically after a certain number of minutes, for example, 60 minutes. By setting the tablet for a certain span of time, even if the child runs with the tablet, she will not be reinforced because the game will not be accessible. A caveat to this is when setting up such a contingency, it must be done ahead of time, not when the demand to turn it over is made. When the game turns off automatically, the child may initially engage in tantrum behavior. That is when the parents have to maintain a calm and pleasant demeanor and act like they don't even notice the behavior emanating from their child. To be in control of the situation, the parents need to be in control of their own responses and emotions. Tantrums should not set the stage for negotiation. While the parents engage in pleasant conversation about anything but what is going on at the moment with their child, they should be covertly monitoring her behavior to make sure she doesn't injure herself. Over just a little time, especially with the promise of extra time on the tablet for relinquishing the tablet on demand, you will soon have control over the meltdowns. As an alternative to earning more game time, parents can keep a treasure box of little items from which the child can choose if she turns over the tablet on demand. Just make sure the little treasures are things the child values. Thank you for listening today. If you have questions or you have a topic that you'd like me to discuss, please email me at harla@understandingyourchildsbehavior.com. I always maintain my listeners' confidentiality. And if you have a moment, please check out my website at understandingyourchildsbehavior.com. I look forward to hearing from you.